Kerbal say hope all is good. Say Zav is getting Daf Mem Zion. About a blot and a half left to the end of the fourth parak. We are obviously not going to get there today, but we are here on the Mishnah on Mem Vav Amud Beis. And the Mishnah says like this: Hamochez Atzmo v'Hezbanav Lo'Ovdi Kachavim Ein Podin Ozov. Someone sells himself and his kids to Goyim. Right? We do not make the Tzibor redeem him. Right, and obviously, though, even though there's a mitzvah of pidyon shvuyim, so right, we'll see in a second. There's a darabanim, we do not redeem them, and you'll see exactly why in a second. Avopodim is babanim lachar misas avihem, but we do redeem the kids right after the father dies, right? That because we want to make sure that these kids don't get, you know, don't live and grow up right in a goyisha household. Amar Rav Asi, and Rav Asi just qualifies, why in the world would we make this Dirabanan? Dirabanan, Vusha Machar Vishana Vishilesh. It's only if this guy has done it once, twice, three times. At that point, okay, we're no longer going to saddle the public and the masses, right, with the responsibility of redeeming this guy, because, you know, listen, he's done it more than once. Okay, fine. Hanu Bnei Bei Michsi, Diasu Duzi Mev Kachavim, Lo Hevu Le Lemifarinhu. There were these people from of Bay Mirsi, who borrowed money from Goyim, and they didn't have enough money to pay back, and also Vikagarbulu, and the Goyim came and they kind of took them captured. Right? They captured them, right, and took them as Avodin. So also the commander of Huna, somehow I guess they got a letter, a message to Huna, and said, I'm a Lahu, my Avid Lahu. So he said to them, what am I supposed to do? Right? It's not our mission, it says, Hamochir Zazmov is Banav Lelikacham, made Podinoso. What do you mean? He said, you blew it, right? Well, you shouldn't have lent money from them. They said, Rabbi Abba said to him, what do you mean? Limitana Rabbeinu, you taught us Rav Huna, Vusha Machar, Vishalna, Vishilesh. You taught us Rav Huna, that's all they did it a couple of times. So I'm like, yeah, Hani Margili, Regile, Davdi Hachi. But yeah, these guys do it all the time. Right? This is not the first rodeo, not the first time they've done this. So therefore, we're not going to redeem them. Okay, another story about redeeming people from Goyim. Fascinating story. Ahu Gavra, well, I guess the next one's a little bit more fascinating. Ahu Gavra Dezavin Nafshe Leludai. There's a guy who sold himself to the Ludayim. Rashi says, the last Rashi on the Amud, Uma Sha'uchlin Bnei Adam. I don't know what this guy was thinking, but he said he sold himself to cannibals. Okay, also the commander of Rabbi Ami, so somehow he was able to get to Rabbi Ami, and Amar Lehi, he said, Pirkan, he said, save me, right? Redeem me, right? Padani, as Rashi says, right? Redeem me. So Amar Lehi said to him, Tanan, I'm okay, Zasmav is Banav Dodi Chacham, Min Podin also. Abba Podim is Abanim, Mishum Kilkula. We learned in the Mishnah that we don't redeem people if we've done it a bunch of times, but the kids, right, you should be redeem them, right? And Mishum Kilkula, because we don't want them to be Mikulka, right? Rashi says, Shalo Yutu, Bavdi Chachavim, Yilmudim Maseim, right? We don't want the kids to grow up amongst Goyim. Right? If a culture came, Hacha, and certainly the Halacha is over here, the Ika Katala, because they're going to get killed. So certainly we should redeem them. So Malay Rabbanan, the Rabbi Ami, the Rabbanan said to Rabbi Ami, Hai Yisrael Mumrahu, what do you mean? This guy's a Yisrael Mumar, right? Someone who's Mechal, not Mechal Shabbos, but is over on Isurim. What Isur has he been over on, right? Again, someone who's a Mumar, right? Someone who always does Isurim and always violates Isurim Hachis, or perhaps we'll see in a second, or maybe Lete Avon to make Kakosh Baruch Hu angry, or because of Lete Avon, because he has some sort of a desire he can overcome. So this guy's a Mumar, meaning a Dino Kagai. He's not a halachic Jew. We see him eating treif. So Amalahu, he said back to them, maybe, right, he's only eating it because he has no choice, right? He has a big taiva for this type of stuff. If you look at Rashi, v'lo have a min ela mumar, one second, that's not the Rashi I wanted to read. Okay, either way, I mean, this guy is eating treifos because he can't help it. So the Chacham said back to him, no, it's not that he can't help it. Sometimes he's presented with two hamburgers, one of them's treif, one of them's kosher, and he gets rid of the kosher and he eats the treif one on purpose. Right, that's a mumar lahachis, right? He's doing it specifically, right, to rebel against Kosh Baruch Hu. So Amalei, if that's true, zil lo koshevki lafrikini, so he says, okay, fine. At that point, he said, get out of here, right? I cannot redeem you, right? Because you do not kagoy, right? He's not a halachic Jew. So Reish Lakish zavin nafshei l'ludoi, and so the following story, right? Then Reish Lakish sold himself to these ludoim, right? To these, again, Reish Lakish, right? Reish Lakish is one of the gedolim, one of the Amoraim, right? Again, Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan, So we know the story about how Reish Lakish became frum. The Gemara tells us that he found Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan promised him his sister if he'd become frum. But really, Reish Lakish started off right in, as a group of bandits. Right, on Machlokas, I don't know if it's here in Tosos, but somewhere else, whether he started frum, became a bandit, right, became a, you know, in charge of prince of thieves, as it were, and then became the Amora, right, and then became a big Talmud Chacham, or if he just never was frum to begin with. Okay, either way, I'm not sure if that Tosos is here. But as Machlokas in terms of whether he was when he started out frum or not. But either way, Reish Lakish, the discussion over here in the Rishonim is when Reish Lakish did this. Was it after he was already in Amora, or beforehand when he was in charge of like all these thieves? Okay, either way, he basically sold himself to these Ludayim, to these cannibals, right? In, as we'll see in a second, in order to defeat them. So Sharko Behedya Chaisa Vegalgolosa. Apparently, he took some sort of bag and a rock. Right, and so, okay, they didn't realize there was a rock in the bag, some sort of sack or something like that, and he hid the rock in there. Amar, because and he said, I mean, his logic was, Gemiri, we know the Yom Basra, the kol de boyim inayu avdilay. And on the last day, that the people, these ludoyim, on the day, meaning the day they're going to eat their captives, right? They apparently what they do is they let them have whatever they want, right? The ki hechi de lichol adme. In order to that, lechol adme, fascinating, two possibilities what this might mean. V'ligarash says, sheyimchol aldamo, so then they'll be appeased. I think there's another shita that says that their blood will taste better. Okay, whatever, fine. Long story short, on the day they're planning on killing them, they do them a favor. I guess they kind of to make them not aware that they're going to get killed. Yom HaBasra, I mean, I'm not sure. Either way, Rabbi Reish Lakish knew this. And so Yom HaBasra, on the day they wanted to kill Reish Lakish, Amr Leh, they said to him, "My nichalacha, what do you want?" So Amr Lehu, he said to them, "Beina akam tinchu veosvinchu v'chol chay min hayu amchei chaysi upalga." He said, "I want you guys to kind of sit down, tie yourselves up, and let me hit you 1.5 times with my bag." Okay, so, whatever. So they didn't realize that he had like a pretty intense rock in there. So kamtinu ve'osvinu kol chay min hayu. So sure enough, all of them kind of got sat down. Right? They got tied up. So kol min hayu kad mechay kad chaisa. So he hit one of them and nafak nishmaisei. And it doesn't seem like they died, but it sounds like there's neshama left them. Like it was like, oh, they kind of like they got stunned. And charkine l'shine, and they somehow they kind of had some sort of smile. Like, you know, they were like. Their mouth opened in shock or something, and they kind of showed him his teeth. Right, Amalei, so he said to him, "Achukei kam echayichzebi, are you laughing at me? Zakati pashlecha, right? You still have one left over. Gabi paga the chaisa, right? You have one more hit. So katlinu kulu and nafik v'asa. So apparently, he hit them one more time, right? And he killed all of them, right? And then he left. Okay, fascinating. Okay, that was Reish Lakish. Yosef. Now the Gemara continues about Reish Lakish until the Mishnah. Yosef Ka'achal Vishazi, see, when Reish Lakish would, in general, this is not afterwards, but when Reish Lakish would kind of sit and eat and drink. Now, what does that mean? It doesn't mean he was a glutton at all. It means, if you look at Rashi, Kol Yomav Kol Mashahaya Mishtaker Lohaya Mitzamsim Latzniel Yom Machar. That is, all his days, he wouldn't leave over anything. Meaning, he would always have Emunah B'tochan, like Kosh Baruch would provide in Parnassah. So, whatever money he made that day, he would spend on food and he wouldn't leave anything over, right? Again, also, as we'll see in a second, he had the approach and the attitude that you're not allowed to take anything, you're not able to take anything with you, right, after you pass away, so you might as well, right, all the money Kosh Baruch Hu gave you, right, you might as well use that for food, and then, you know, kind of wait till the next day, and hope that Kosh Baruch Hu takes care of you again. Okay, so anyway, so Amar Leh Barti Lo Bois Midi Lemigza Aleh, don't you want something to sleep? Right, meaning like, get yourself a pillow, get yourself a bed or whatever. So Amar Leh said to be BT Crazy Curry. Okay, fascinating, okay, he said, my stomach is my pillow. Okay, Kinach Nafshe, when he died, Shavak Kava de Morika, he left over like a kav of some of these spices. So Karan Nafshe, and he said, Vazu Lachenu Chelam, right? He said that I'm leaving, right, what I own to other people, meaning he was upset that he had not used that, right, in his life, not because he loved the pleasures, but he said that Kosh Baruch Hu gave me this, right? How could I not use it? It was chaval that he didn't, partake of what Kosh Baruch Hu given him during his life. Okay. New Mishnah now. Hamocher sadeh lo v'kochavim lokech umevi mimeno bikurim. Two girsas over here, exactly what's going on, but let's just start with the first part. Hamocher sadeh lo v'kochavim. Person sells his field to goyim in Eretz Yisrael. This is the basics, the aleph beis of the sugya of Hetzer Mechira during Shemitah. Right? Whether a goy can own land and what in Eretz Yisrael and what happens to that land when a goy owns it. Okay, we're not going to get into the halachas of Hetzer Mechira and you know what the status is, etc. But this is aleph beis. Starts in this Mishnah, Mesechet Gittin, and Daf Mem Vav. What were we? Mem Zayin. Anyway, so the Mishnah says, you sell your field to a goy in Eretz Yisrael. So two girsas, either lokeach who maybe menu bikurim, that we, according to Rashi's girsa, we make the guy who sold the field buy the fruit back from him, right, the produce back, and therefore bring bikurim, mipnei tikkun olam, because we want to fix society, meaning we don't want to fix the world, we want to not have Jews selling land to goy merits. So Tosfos Shita is lokeach umevi bikurim, that anybody who buys the fruit from the guy, right, has to bring bikurim, and therefore no one's going to buy his fruit, and therefore the guy is not going to want to buy the land because no one's going to buy his produce. Okay, either way, right? That's the din derabanan. So Amar Rabba. Rabba says, "Machlokas Rabba and Rabbi Elazar. What's the din when a guy buys land in Eretz Yisrael?" So he says, "Avo picha ein kinyan lo v'kacham b'Eretz Yisrael lafkemi de'maiser." According to Rabba, the halacha is that a guy cannot own land in Eretz Yisrael, i.e., and therefore pater, right, all of the produce from Meiser, meaning he doesn't actually own the land halachically, and it still has Kedusha, right, the Kedusha is still Koi, right, the Kedusha still exists. And therefore, right, all anything the field produces, right, is going to be chayiv within chumas and maizes, etc. Shneamar, his boss says, Kili kol ha, Kili ha'aretz, because of course, Bo says, right, he owns the land, right? Kosh Baruch Hu owns the land. Right? Still, li kedushas aretz, aval yesh kinyan lo v'kacham. So, li kedushas aretz, right? Kosh Baruch Hu has the kedusha of the land. I mean, you can't uproot it just by selling it. Aval ba yesh kinyan lo v'kacham in Eretz Yisrael, lach bar baboros siuchin u'ma'aros. But when the goy buys the land in Eretz Yisrael, he's allowed to do whatever he wants with the land. He can dig in it. He can, you know, make it into some sort of pit or cistern or whatever. Shnei was pasuk says that Shemaim Shemaim Lashem Aris Nasa Levin Adam. The Kosh Baruch owns the world, has the skies, but man, the land was given to man, meaning that he still has a kinyan in it, and that he can do to the land whatever he wants. Rabbi Lazar says the exact opposite. Alpha Pishi Yesh kinyan lev gacham Eretz Yisrael afkei lebi demaiser. That even though that if a goy buys land in Eretz Yisrael, he does uproot it from its kedusha, and therefore none of the produce is chayav chumas and maizer. Shneamar's pasuk says deganecha, meaning that only deganecha tirshchav yitzracha, only your grain, i.e. a Jewish grain, is chayav in my chumas and maizers. Below dagan of gachavim and not goyish grain. Aval bar ain't kinyan lev gachavim be'eretz Yisrael. But if he buys, he's still not allowed to rip up the land. Shneamar l'Hashem aretz, to say because the pasuk says that Hashem, right, owns the land. So Mark Kalifli, what's a machokas? Mar Savar, Digancha, Velo Dagan. The question is how you learn the word Digancha. Kondri Be'el Lazar, right, you read the word Digancha, and therefore you learn out Digancha Velo Digancha of a Kacham. That's your grain, and not the grain of a guy. So any grain that the guy owns, but that grows on his field, right, is part of the Jews and Maestros. Mar Savar, Rabba holds the Digunecha, that it's not Digancha, meaning we read it Digancha in the Torah, that's the pronunciation when the Baal Kori reads it, but we learn Digunecha. Digunecha means the process of processing the grain, meaning that any grain that was processed in your possession, right? That if the Jew buys the grain and then processes it and smooths out the kri, etc., etc., makes it chumah chayiv and chumah zemaisers, that will make it chayiv. Velo digun over kilchavim, and not the process of processing the grain done by a goy. So therefore, if the goy finish the whole process, right, it's part of Jews and Meisters. But if a Jew buys that grain, even if it grew on the land of a goy in Eretz Yisrael, so still, right, it's chayav and Jews and Meisters, because the Jew is the one, right, who completed the whole, right, grain preparing process. Amar Rabba. Now, this is basically what we're going to do, right, pretty much till the end of today's daf. So Amar Rabba says, "Mina amina lo." How do we know? Because the Mishnah says, "Alekav Hashecha v'Apeah Yishol v'Kacham v'Chavim b'Meiser Elim Kain Hifker." Right? They said that the Alekav Hashecha and Peah, right? Those are gifts, right, for the poor. That's Shayach in Eretz Yisrael. So if you have a Goyish field, all of those that's Chayiv, right? All the Alekav Hashecha and Peah of a Goy that a Goy left for the poor. Now again, that's how we should have prefaced that Alekav Hashecha and Peah are Potter in terms of Meisers, right? If a regular Jew owns a field in Eretz Yisrael, leaves Alekav Hashecha and Peah. Alekav is stuff that he forgot. Peah is wheat that he left in the corner. Which one did they leave out? Leket is stuff that dropped. Shecha is stuff that he forgot. Okay, anyway, all those matnos aniyim are potter jumas and misers. But the Mishnah says that leket, shecha, and peh of a guy is chayv jumas and misers. So, and unless, right, he was mafkir of the field. So the Gemara says, "Hey, what's the case? Elim the Yisrael that the land belongs to the Yisrael and a guy picked the matnas guna, no, the matnas aniyim. So Elim can't hifker. So what do you mean? Why would we say that it's shayach the chumas and maizrus unless he was mafkir them, unless he made it ownerless? Right? How mafkir v'kaimi? It's already." Hefker, right? The second the Jew makes it into like a shechad beah into the matnos aniyim, it's already hefker, and it's not chayiv. And shumas ma'isrus. What do you need that extra step that the guy has to be mafker? It's elam lav. It must be the case is the overkuchavim liknin Yisrael. The case is when we said, wait, the alek of shechad beah shall overkuchavim. What does that mean? That means that's the overkuchavim's field, and the Jew picked it. And time with the hefker. And the only reason. Right, that it's going to be potter from Trumas and Maestros is that he made it hefker. V'halo hefker, but if he didn't, then they are shayach to Trumas and Maestros. Apparently, what do you see? Right, that the fruit or the produce of a goyish field in Eretz Yisrael is chayav Trumas and Maestros. So Kamei says, it's not necessarily a good proof. L'olam de Yisrael, like the new avodas kochavim. Really, it could be that the case is with a Jew on the field and the guy is the one who picked the matnos aniyim? The kamarta hamafker v'kaimi. What do you mean? But you tell me that it's already hefker, right? The second you leave matnos aniyim, it's potter and chumas and maizrus. So need the mafker. That's the Yisrael. That's the avkochavim mi mafker. It's Gemara says, fascinating line that the Jew only is mafker it for a Jewish poor person to pick it up, but for a goyish poor person, right? He is not mafker it. So fascinating. So in that case, if the guy picks it up, right, so then it's not hefker from the Jew, right? Unless the Jew specified it, said that also goyim, if goyim get this, it's hefker. And therefore, in that case, it would be chayav chumas maizrus if he didn't make that stipulation. Okay. Tashma, let's bring another proof. Yisrael shalakach sadim el v'kochavim. If a Jew, again, also either way. Yisrael that buys a field from a guy. The Achlo Hevi Shlish, and again, in Eretz Yisrael. Achlo Hevi Shlish, v'chazu machra lo misha Hevi Shlish. Right, he bought it before, let's say, the wheat grew to one-third of its normal kind of growth, and then he sold it back to him after it had, you know, fully grown, right, or after it had been grown one-third. So the Gemara says, chayev b'meiser. In that case, it's chayev b'meiser. Shekfan is chayev, because it was already chayev, meaning once it hit one-third, right, in the possession of a Jew, so then it was chayev and shumas and meisers. So Gemara says, it's chayev in, lo is chayev lo. So apparently, what do you see? That if it became chayev and shumas and meisers while it was owned by a Jew, then you have to give meisers. But if it didn't, meaning if it hadn't hit one-third, let's say it was one-sixth, then he sold it back to the guy, and it hit one-third in the guy's possession, so you don't have to give trumas and maizrus. So apparently, what do you see? We see any produce from a guy, he does not have to give trumas and maizrus in Eretz Yisrael. So Gemara says, no. Now we're talking about Surya, which was, again, we said before, if you remember, that was conquered by David HaMelech, and the whole question as to what its status is. If a kosavarim, we're holding over here that kibush yachid losh min kibush, that when a single person, i.e. a single Jewish king, conquers something, that's not considered conquering, that doesn't give it a full status of Eretz Yisrael. So anyways, that's ready. So any chum samayis is going to be the Rabbanan, therefore that's not a case that tells us anything about Eretz Yisrael, because we're going to pater goyish land from chum samayis anyway, because it's only the Rabbanan anyway for a Jew to bring. Tashmas, I'll bring you another proof. Yisrael v'lechachom shalakum shadev shutfis. If you're a Jew and a guy owns a field together, so what's the deal with the produce? Tel of v'chulin muravin zebazed every Rebbe. Rebbe says that the tevel, which is again non-tithed, right, field that's produce that has not been given to the misers, so that is tevel. You can't eat that. That's a big problem. Chulin is just normal, regular, you know, grain that is allowed to be eaten. So it's half and half, meaning that it's literally half and half. The Jew, i.e., meaning that the Jew and the guy own half and half of each. Of the field, right? The Jew owns, whatever the Jew owns is chayav chumas and maizrus, therefore it's tevel. Whatever the goy owns, right? It's not chayav chumas and maizrus, and therefore it's chulin, and therefore it's regular. Rabbi Geshem Gamliel, Rabbi Gamliel says, "Shavu kachavim potter shal Yisrael chayav." This says no, anything that the goy gets, right? That's potter from chumas and maizrus. The Yisrael, whatever the Yisrael gets, is chayav, meaning that the last thing, according to Rebbe, each piece of little grain, right, each little one, Right, if you look at Rashi, the first line over here, "Ein l'chol chita v'chita she'in chetzi ha'tevel chetzi v'chulin." Rebbe holds that every single little grain is half and half. Rav Shimon Gamliel says no. It means that whatever the goy gets is not chayv and chumas ma'izus. Whatever the Yisrael gets is. I kind of pligi of the mar savri yesh breira, mar savri im breira. And the machlokas is whether you say breira or not. Meaning, as we said before, breira tells us that retroactively we figure out what something was all along. So when, let's say, the Jew and the goy owned 100 acres or whatever. Acres is probably a bad word to use, but 100, whatever, let's say acres. And the Jew takes his 50 acres, and the guy takes his 50 acres, so it's Brera, it's retroactively, we determine, right, that his produce, that the guy's produce was this, and the Jew's produce is that, and therefore the Jew takes Jumas Maisers from his, and the guy takes from his, or doesn't have to take it at all, because it's Pater. Ava, but, the Kuli Alma, everybody agrees, though, right, the Yesh Kin Lev Gacham Beretz is all left given a Meister. And everybody holds here that a goy, right, that whatever the goy owns is not going to be chayv and chumas and maestros. So apparently we see, right, that proves like who says what? Always forget who says what. Rabba, Rabbi Elazar. I'm sorry. Rabbi Elazar, the guy does own the field, and there is no chayiv and trumas and maestros. So Achanami, the Gemara says, it's not a good proof, because Achanami Bisuru, because of Kibush, Yalchi, Losh, Mekibush, and we can give the same answer. It's not dealing with Eretz Yisrael at all, it's only dealing with Surya. I'm Rabbi Chiya Bar Avin, and this is why we brought this whole discussion, because it's a proof from our Mishnah. Let's prove Rabbi Elazar from our Mishnah that the guy owns the land in Eretz Yisrael, and it's Pater and trumas and maestros. Right, again, in our case, what did our mission say? If you sell your field to a guy, let's take Rashi's, it's funny because this is Tosos, is Shita, no? This is Tosos Girsa? Okay, either way, so Lokech Umevi Bikurim, you have to buy it back, or whoever buys it has to give Bikurim, B'nei Tikkun Olam, B'nei Tikkun Olam in, Midr Eis Halal, but the Gemara Darshan's out, it's just B'tikkun Olam, right? Just to make sure we don't want to get the Jew to sell, but not Midr Raisa. Right, not just a dinder abanan. So apparently, what do you see? Midar Raisa, right? The guy owns the field, and it's potter from Trumas and Maestros, and i.e. Bikurim. So Ravashi, nah, Ravashi is not really. Shtei Takanos Hayu, the story goes that there were two dinim der abanan. It's not that we're going, and again, just to clarify, we're not going against dinder Raisa. There was original dinder abanan. They stopped, as you'll see in a second, they cut out the dinder abanan, and they reestablished the dinder abanan. But it's not that it's going to uproot dinder Raisa. If you sold your field to a guy, you'd have to bring all the matanos kahuna. Really, we hold like Rabba, and really, you'd have to bring all the matanos aniyim and matanos kahuna, etc. Came in the chazur to come. Mikri was avni the savri. Because Yishai Kaiman, Thakimu the low, lehu the low leisu. Once they saw though that people would sell the goyim, sell their fields to the goyim, because they would think that everything is kadosh, right? Everything is kadosh. You can still bring all the matnos, the bikurim and the shumas and maestros, etc. They made a takana not to bring bikurim from those things. And therefore, because they wanted to be like, the Jews will realize, I sold my field, we're not bringing Bikurim from it anymore, right? It must be that the Kedusha is leaving, right? And then I won't sell my field to a guy. Came to Chazan the Mandalo Sagile Mizabin, so then apparently you saw that people still got stuck, or the Mandalo Sagile, and people didn't have enough money, still Mizabin, they would sell their field. For Kamishtayin, and the field would be sold to Biad over Kachavim. So Hadatakinu Lutalesu, so they saw that they couldn't help themselves, or they couldn't help it, that people were still selling, so they were Matakin. Excuse me, that they should, right, is bring Bikurim. So the Dindar Abanan one kind of was to reinforce the Dindar Raisa, right, according to this understanding, and therefore that doesn't prove, that would prove the other way, really, if you'd say that understanding, that would prove Rabba's Shita, not Rabbi Elazar, but either way, there's no proof from our mission. Okay. Itmari was set. Hamokha Sadeir Lepedis. Let's say you sell your field for the produce. I mean, you sell, right? You don't sell the field, but you sell, right, the produce itself. Rashi here points out that we're not talking about Yovel, because during Yovel, right, that's basically every sale was. That's what every sale was, because a person's field went back to the original owners. Okay, so but anyway, let's say there's no Yovel going on, and you sell your field for just the payros, right? Again, you have an apple orchard, and you sell, I'm going to sell you the apples. I'm going to sell you the field for the apples, right? We don't want to do that because that's already Devarish Lo Bola Olam. Okay. I'm selling the field for the produce that it makes. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Mevi Vikore, Rish Lakish Amar Mevi ve'eno kore. There are two aspects of bikurim. There's something called the havas bikurim. You bring the bikurim to the Beis Hamikdash, and then there's the kriya, right, which basically you say arami ovidovi, etc., etc. And one of the phrases there is it says that you bring the fruit, right, of the land that you own. So the shaila is, right, do you own the land? Can you do the kriya? Can you say? I'm trying to find a pasuk over here. Okay, it doesn't say that. Okay, it doesn't really quote it on the side. Anyway, basically, you say that one of the things that you say in the whole Kriyas Bikurim, I guess it's not called Kriya, I'm trying to remember what the phrase is. And when you say the whole statement, you basically say, thank you, Akash Baruch Hu, for giving me this land. So Shaila is, do you do that? So Rabbi Yochanan says you do the kriya, and Rish Lakish says you don't. Rabbi Yochanan, or maybe a kori, Rabbi Yochanan says you do the kriya, kinyan peres kinyan raguf dami. Because when you own the produce, it's kind of like you own the thing. I mean, it's kind of like you own the actual goof, the actual thing in question. Rish Lakish, amar no, maybe vino kori, kinyan peres tav kinyan raguf dami. Then no, you don't do the kriya, because when you own the fruit, that doesn't mean you own the land, and therefore you can't say, right, thank you, Akash Baruch Hu, for the land that you gave me. Esrei, Rabbi Yochanan, the Reish Lakish. This is going to lead us into tomorrow's daf. Rabbi Yochanan asked the following shayla to Reish Lakish, Ulu Veisecha, Mir V'samachtav V'chol HaTov, right, that you should be, the Pasuk says, V'samachtav V'chol HaTov, you should rejoice with all the simcha, all the good, Hashem HaSan HaShem Lokecha, L'chol Ulu Veisecha, to your house. Right, Malam HaShavadah, maybe Bikuri Yishtov HaKore. Apparently, you can bring Bikurim for your wife, right, and you do the Kriya. Now, what's the husband's ownership of the wife's produce, right? The wife who brings a field into the marriage, so the husband has rights to the fruit as long as they're married. That's called nechse mulug. That's basically the case over here, right? The husband has rights to the produce and not to the actual field, and yet we see, right, that he does the kriyas, as Rabbi Yochanan Shita. So how can you tell me that he doesn't? In a case where he only owns the peros, that's exactly our case. So I'm related. Reish Lakish said back to him, "Shani Hashem Dechtiv Ulu Beisecha." Oh yeah, okay. Because the pasuk says, Reish Lakish says, that's the exception. Right, the pasuk says you have to do it, but really the general rule is, right, that you don't. And that's always a question, right? When the pasuk says to do something, right, is the pasuk establishing a rule, or is it telling you the exception to the rule? Right, what implication can you get from the pasuk? And sure enough, we're going to have the flip side right now. Yigid Amri, some people say it was the other way, right? Meaning, well, you'll see in a second. Right, Eisvei Rishim ben Lakish Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish says Rabbi Yochanan. The pasuk says Ulvei Secha, right? You should bring it. You can do the kriya for your house. Malamish Adam maybe Bikurei Ishto Vekorei. Apparently, a husband can bring the fruit of his wife and do the kriya. Hasam Hu Dichtiv Ulvei Secha. The only reason he can do that is because the pasuk says, right, he can do the kriya for his wife. But in general, right, if he just happens to own the produce of a field and not the actual field himself, lo, you can't. So I'm alay, so Yochanan said back to him, yeah, time is din, nami me'acha kamina. My whole reason, right, is from that pasuk. That's where I get it from. Right, that's not the exception. That's the rule, Rabbi Yochanan would say back to Rabbi Shlokish, right? And that's where I get my shita from, because that's what the pasuk says, and that's therefore the pasuk is not teaching me the exception, it's teaching me the rule. Okay, we're going to stop here. We're going to have some more kashas on back and forth tomorrow. Have a great day or night, depending on when you listen to this.